Welcome to Connection Point. This is PC Connections podcast series focusing on strategies and trends in infrastructure, IT optimization, data management, and much more. I am your host, James Hillier. When looking for ways to stretch your IT budget, your organization may have chosen a tactic to delay your PC refresh and extend your PC life cycles. Certainly, it allows you to avoid PC acquisition costs in the near term. However, in the longer term, you may see a sharp rise in your total cost of ownership for those machines. So on today's episode of Connection Point, we are discussing how to account for total cost of ownership when planning your PC refresh cycles. Joining us today is Eric Heerwagen. Eric is part of the Intel Americas Digital Office Division. He joined Intel 11 years ago in Intel's internal IT group, working with end users to drive improvement in IT's service offerings. Eric, really do appreciate you joining me today.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, one of the ways, especially in this economy, that folks are trying to save some money is delaying some refresh cycles. And I know the desktops have been delayed at a lot of the organizations I've talked to. They were planning on doing things. Now, these machines are looking at, you know, 2-3 years extra lifetime that they've been being used. And some of these are in bad shape and they really do need to be refreshed. But it's a tactic. A lot of folks trying to save some money. My question to you: good tactic or bad?
You know, the easy answer is it's a bad tactic, right? It's a short-term savings that really does cause problems longer term. It's an issue of total cost of ownership when you get right down to it.
What are some of the additional costs that people might not think of? They're thinking, hey, I don't have to spend $300 to $1,000 for a new desktop. But what are some of those hidden costs that they might be paying for when trying to extend the life of that older machine?
You know, in the first year, you've just got the outlay of the PC, maybe not a whole lot of break fix going on. But by year four, the costs have gone up almost 59%. So you've got a huge increase in the cost of maintaining that PC. So we actually are finding when we do studies, and we've got experts like Wipro and studies from North America and Europe, and a lot of data points coming together, 3 years is the magic number. At about the year four time frame, it costs you more money to keep that PC around than it would to actually buy a new PC.
Is that the same? We've been mentioning PC. I mentioned desktop earlier. Same thing for kind of laptops as well?
Yeah, actually, laptops, you can almost get an even shorter lifespan on those as well. But 3 years is generally about the magic number. You start seeing things like configuration drift. That's what our IT guys call it inside their shop here. Otherwise known as, you know, the moron that downloads Doom and wants to play it in this cube, and it causes DLL conflicts and things start to break, or virus signature files that just can't get updated or aren't found on the network because the PC's so old you can't find it out there. You start having lots and lots of issues with maintaining that system, not to mention the hardware starts to wear out.
And one of the other things that I'm aware of, too, and I think most folks are, is it's the new features. I mean, we've been developing and you know, a laptop bought 3 years ago is by no means the same laptop that you're going to buy today in terms of just some of the features, the speed, the size, the weight, all those things. I mean, they're just advantages to the end user of getting something new. But also, one of the big trends in the workplace these days is green. And older machines, they just churn and use a whole lot more power than some of today's newer machines.
Yeah, so when you take a look at the Intel Pentium 4 processor, the PC of, say, 4 years ago, and compare that to a much more capable, much more energy efficient PC based on the Intel Core 2 processor, you're seeing actually a 50% improvement in power savings. And that doesn't count, you know, going to a mobile system where you actually are on battery and you've got a whole lot more power savings. And man, mobility is cool. You're talking about productivity and improvement for the end user. If you guys haven't looked at mobility, I'd encourage you to do that. Huge productivity gains in, you know, each week, 50 plus minutes of extra productivity these guys get.
Eric, what we've talked about so far is fine, and you've laid out some of the ways that people can save some money. That, though, in this conversation, is not alone going to let an IT manager convince his executives that maybe either doing an early refresh or just a standard refresh at this time is something that should be done, because those execs might be looking at the bottom line saying, no, your budget's not increasing this year, and we don't have the money for a refresh now. So what we need is hard and fast numbers. We need something to really prove to those executives, not just saying it, so How does IT go about proving that, getting some of these metrics to show this 59% gain that we could get by refreshing over trying to extend the life of an older model? How do we go about getting those hard numbers?
You bet. There's a tool on the Intel website called the Intel PC TCO ROI Estimator. There's a mouthful for you. But you can look that up on the web and pull it up and model out some of the scenarios of what you're going to gain by moving to a new PC.
To this PC TCO ROI estimator, who's typically using this within the IT shop? What information do I have to put into the estimator? How long is this going to take me? What am I going to get at the end?
Any person that's a decision maker in the process for figuring out what PCs you're going to bring in would be a great candidate for taking a look at this. You can have varying levels of knowledge of the IT infrastructure and the IT trouble tickets and all of that to make this work. The tool itself is driven off of surveys that we did of North America and European companies. So there's a lot of assumptions that are built into it by default, and they're roughly industry standards. Then, depending on your level of knowledge, you can fine-tune. So when you actually start with a tool, you are able to select whether you want to model this out with Intel vPro technology or without Intel vPro technology. You fill in the type of workers you've got, some salary information if you want. You can also fill in the size of your fleet. And from there, you can get to the results immediately, or you can then start modeling out finer details where you want to take a look at your support characteristics, number of incidents you have per year, your power costs, how often you have PCs on versus off. You can model all of that out. And you can also factor in things like productivity gains from your employees having those really cool, new, faster, better, more reliable PCs. And you can even choose to discount that. If you're a skeptical finance person or you've got that bent, you can take it all the way down to zero and factor out all the productivity. Or you can say it's worth something and bring that into your model. It then spits out all sorts of great reports that you can export, you can print, you can send off to your most hardened finance person that's blocking your desire to refresh.
Eric, just a moment ago, you brought up vPro. I want to just take a minute here. Give people a primer if they're not all that up to speed on what vPro is. Give me the top two or three things the technology brings that IT hasn't had in the past with previous chipsets.
You bet. So in a nutshell, when you're talking about Intel vPro, the core element of it right now is this idea of built-in manageability and security. Because we've got the CPU, the chipset, the NIC all knit together, we're able to do, effectively like ILO is on servers, we're able to manage these systems, secure these systems, even if they're off or if the OS is completely inoperable. So I can do a lot more remotely without actually having to send somebody out to the desk side. Plus, I also get some benefit of being able to go to some really cool virtualization technologies that are coming down the pike, so I can take advantage of the best of the rich client world and mobility at the same time as having some of that thin client centralization of streaming apps and things along those lines. There's, again, some special stuff we've done in the hardware layer that's unique that helps improve performance, improve graphics, and make the virtualization experience better as well.
Hey, Eric, really do appreciate the time today and the insights.
You bet, James. Thank you again for the opportunity.
And for our listeners, PC Connection can work with you to design green IT solutions that deliver business cost savings through the deployment of energy-efficient technologies like those available from Intel. They recognize that green IT not only creates eco-friendly businesses, but it also boosts the bottom line. So if you want any more information about the energy savings you can gain from a desktop refresh with machines that run on an Intel platform, please contact your PC Connection account manager. As for that ROI calculator, again, you can go online to access that, www.pcconnection.com/Intel. I'm James Hilliard. Thanks again for joining us.